The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly. And I do mean proudly. Brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It is Gil Alexander. And what a day it is today. New producer, new crew. Everybody welcome in Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Kelly Bidlin, round of applause.
Happy to be here, Gil. Thank you so much.
It's like riding a bike.
Producer number 76, or what are we up to now?
Nine.
All right, cool.
Producer number nine. By the way, shout out to Sean McCollum, who comes down for the Primetime Action crew, Wyatt Tomchek, and of course, the great Isaiah Von Vrinkel.
That's right. Stole the whole crew from the night.
Yeah. Isaiah realizes he doesn't run the show down here, right, in the morning? Does he get that?
Yeah, we'll see.
That part? Okay. I'm just curious.
We'll see if you stay on camera or not. Yeah.
That's right. We'll see if that happens. On the show today, Drew Dinsick joins us for the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. Of course, we'll talk U.S. Open tennis with him and National Football League, though Drew has been a little sparse with the football plays this summer. Mark Borchardt on baseball. We got Paul Carr with Champions League plays as well. Let us start, because there's big football news yesterday, but let me start with the tennis recap from yesterday, the tennis picks at the United States Open today, heading into day two of round one. Yesterday, 2-2, they were all four dog plays, and so we end up with a winning day, having hit two of those, one of which was on Tim Van Rijthoven, who saved not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but seven match points. I don't apologize, because I once had a Jesse Pegula match there where we coughed up six and lost. So we got that done. The winners were on Van Rijthoven and also on the ladies' side on Dalma Golfi. So that was a good day, as it turned out. Today, four more plays. Also, four dogs, although the two in the middle are now slight favorites. So Danielle freaking Collins, we're taking her plus 154 over Naomi Osaka. Collins hasn't played in a while, but Osaka has certainly had a bad hard court season, so we're hoping for the crowd to get behind Collins and get that home. That one should be right around that price, give or take a few pennies. Xinwen Zhang has a tough opening round match. Got her at plus 103 last night. She's about minus, we'll have to check on this, Kelly, I think like minus 115. Don't let that get higher than minus 120. Same goes for Lucia Bronzetti, who has a match this morning. I got her at plus 101 last night. She's also in the minus 115 range. Don't let that get above minus 120 if you play that. And then the other big dog, which is right around the price, the one play on the men's side, Stevie Johnson today. Plus 164 going up against Grigor Dimitrov. So Collins, Zhang, Bronzetti on the women's side, Steve Johnson on the men's side. By the way, yesterday was carnage at the U.S. Open. In case you missed it, we were not involved in any of this. But massive upsets, specifically on the ladies' side, Daria Snigur. She ends up beating Simona Halep, who was the second short shot to win this tournament. Danielle Elahi Galan beat Stefanos Tsitsipas. He won the first 11 games of that match and upsets Stefanos Tsitsipas as a 12-1 dog.
Is that all he was?
12-1. Tsitsipas was minus 2,500.
I was sitting there watching that. I was getting some show stuff together and saw the end of it, texted you immediately. I was like, how big of a dog is this guy? Saw ESPN run a graphic of him being like 7-8 in tournaments this year or something like that. I was like, this feels like a major upset.
By the way, all of my relatives have names similar to Danielle Elahi Galan. How is he not a member of the tribe, Kelly? Colombian player. I was a little disappointed in him when I found out he wasn't. By the way, that's your VSiN pro tip of the day. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that not how those work? No?
Yeah, later on.
Okay. Brandon Holt, also 12-1 dog against Taylor Fritz, the number one American player. He was also 12-1. So let's do the hypothetical. If you were to have parlayed all three of those, I don't know if you did. I'm guessing you didn't. 1,689-1 at the prices I cited. Some people got it at better prices even. And if you added one more upset, which was, you know, a minor plus 450 win for Harriet Dart over Daria Kasatkina, basically it's about a 10,000-1 parlay. Now, if you're saying to yourself, yeah, but no one ever does those. Well, I actually know, Kelly. I actually saw a screenshot someone provided. This is how it was described to me. Some girl, this is how it was described, made her first bet ever, $5. I don't know if it was at DraftKings or not, but she did it on Holt, Galan, and Tanasi Kokkinakis against Nick Kyrgios. It would have paid $1,500-1. She would have won $7,500 for her $5 bet. Kyrgios rolled his best friend. He trucked Kokkinakis, so she didn't get home. But imagine if she wins this with her first bet ever.
Oh, that's silly. That is silly.
Horrible gambler for life if that happens to you.
Yeah, I wonder if it's one of those free bets too, like how that works out. It's yeah, you're right though. You hit something like that, you would be betting on anything and everything for life.
It's the easiest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
This ain't that hard.
All right, we'll get to some more tennis with Drew, find out what his picks are. Drew Dinsick here in next segment. The other big news yesterday, besides the huge upsets in the U.S. Open, and this just goes with the theme, Kelly, of this is the summer. The summer of 2022 is the summer of nothing happened. The summer of nothing. And we could do it on all kinds of fronts, right? In other words, in all sorts of ways. Deshaun Watson, in the end, we waited. The NFL didn't end up throwing the hammer of a full season or a full calendar year. It didn't end up being the 6 games that the independent arbitrator came up with. It ended up being this compromise of 11 weeks that everybody kind of like, meh, you know, it was sort of in the middle. That didn't really satisfy either side. Then you had Matt Stafford's elbow injury. Could this be the biggest story of the NFL offseason? Doesn't look like it will be.
Kevin Durant.
Tom Brady's. Tom Brady's absence, and, you know, was this something? Is he coming back? No, he came back. No big deal. And then what you just said, Kelly, the single biggest thing, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, oh, my God, where are they going to end up? Nowhere. Right back to where they started, Brooklyn Nets. And then yesterday happens, and 49ers and quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo report finalizing a new contract and making the highest paid backup in the entire National Football League. That per Mike Garofolo as well. A solution that keeps Jimmy G on the roster while making clear that it's Trey Lance's team going forward. I mean, I guess that's what it makes clear. I'm not really sure it's that clear. Per Ian Rappaport, by the way, the deal makes Garoppolo the league's highest paid backup. Garoppolo will be a free agent at the end of the season. It gets no trade, no tag clause added to his deal. Over the cap has Jimmy Garoppolo's cap hit now at $8.941 million. That would mean that the Niners saved about $17 million in the restructure and have about $20 million in total cap space. I guess we can run the clip here, Kelly. Can we do that?
We can. This is you guys from the Megapod last week, right? Talking about this exact situation possibly playing out.
With Las Vegas
Chris. I'm almost wondering now if the Niners are like, you know what? We screwed ourselves. How do we come up looking good here? Maybe we just actually do keep him just in case.
I've said it for months and months. Why would they get rid of this guy?
I have no idea.
It's unbelievable to me that they're so stubborn that they feel they need to get rid of this guy. Incredulous.
We're leading the Super Bowl late against the Chiefs a couple years ago. He actually had a great postseason last year, made huge plays when it mattered. I don't know how you think this goes with him, Matt.
Well, I mean, Gil, you know, I'm not the biggest Jimmy G guy, but like you can't argue with the numbers. So when Jimmy G's on the field, this team is 35-16. And when he's not on the field, they're 8-28. I mean, like you cannot argue with the numbers, right? I mean, like that just is what it is. And I think like you guys said, at this point, I don't know why you don't keep him if you honestly think this team can be good. And I think they think this team can be good because if the way that it's kind of played out now, you're not going to get anything for him. So if you're not going to get anything for him, you might as well keep him as like the best insurance policy in the NFL,
which is
basically what you have
absolutely
at this point, because none of these teams, everyone keeps throwing out these teams that are bad and like saying like, well, why didn't Seattle get him? Or why didn't the Texans, whatever, because there's 7 quarterbacks with first round grades coming out this year and they don't want to win 8 games. You know, they don't want to win 7 games.
What matches
like, it doesn't make any sense.
And that is Matt Brown, by the way. We should point out our old buddy Matt Brown from Primetime Action. Do we feel like we abandoned Matt Brown, you and me?
No, he'll be fine. Check him out later this afternoon.
That's right, with Stormy Bonatoni, the VSiN Final Countdown, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 1 to 3 Pacific, the first ever Final Countdown with Stormy and Matt. But that we called it, right? Like, I mean, it's like it didn't make any sense. They painted themselves into a corner. And so we are talking about a supposed backup quarterback here. But Kelly, that was enough for me to make Niners bets yesterday. I took the Niners to win the NFC. I took the Niners to win the Super Bowl because, and you're like, yeah, it's a backup quarterback. What if Trey Lance isn't good?
Well, and that's been the number one question about the Niners this whole offseason, right? As we've spent months upon months, as we always do every summer, examining every NFL offseason move, previewing every division, all of those things. The number one thing with 49ers has been, hey, if Trey Lance can be good, there's no reason why this team can't play well this year. And if he's terrible, this team could be a disaster. That's why I haven't bet anything with him. So I don't have a problem with you making bets now that you know there's some security at that position.
I love that he is there in case, right? I mean, was Chris Collinsworth's comment? The most important position in football is quarterback. The second most important position, backup quarterback. Let's run those two tweets real here. This is from Peter Schrager. Peter Schrager from NFL Network, of course, from Good Morning Football. He chimed in on this, and I thought the response was great, too. Peter Schrager's quote, Jimmy G deal, instant analysis. One, rare dude who would accept such a situation. Two, price for Jimmy G goes up a ton over the next 6 to 10 weeks with quarterback injuries. Three, backup quarterback value to San Francisco is enormous. And four, a compensatory pick, third round, if San Francisco keeps him all year. But here was a great response. Let's run this real quick. This is from Rob Staten, who says, also Jimmy G analysis. One, now young quarterback has to look over his shoulder constantly. Two, teammates will wonder who's best to start. Three, media will obsess over whether Jimmy G should start if Lance has growing pains. And four, you don't spend first round draft picks to end up in this situation. So true, that last one.
All fair points. And which, however this season ends up, one of those sides will be right, one of those sides will be wrong, right?
The summer of nothing, man. Everybody stays everywhere. All right, let's play it now, finally. Coming back on the other side, Drew Dinsick from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. We'll talk some tennis. We'll talk some NFL. On the other side, a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Don't forget, it's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you are going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. I guarantee. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, producer number 9. Don't forget, Jeff Parlay fans. He does weekends here on the network and also is on the Megapod this year. So we love Jeffrey still. Kelly, did you see there really wasn't enough fanfare about Serena Williams' match last night. Did you see anybody making a to-do about that?
No, not really.
Not at all.
Not really.
Just sort of came and went, right?
She rolled, huh?
She did, but you know what? It was such a – can I use the word rigged? Is that allowed? The draw was so favorable for her. Danka Kovinic's hard court numbers have been terrible the last year. Here's the thing. It was like a coronation, right, of her career. And yet, she's supposed to play a second-round match like she's still in the tournament. So it was like this tacit understanding of, yeah, Annette Contaveit's probably going to beat her, so, you know. But now if she beats Contaveit, and we'll bring in Drew Dinsick for this, we could see like a week of Serena. Drew Dinsick, everybody, at @whale_capper, NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast, of course, and The Deep Dive with his buddy Andy Molitor. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing well, Gil. This is a great week. We got football is back, and the U.S. Open was absolutely wild yesterday.
Bananas.
Just a roller coaster.
Yes, and it was.
This happens every year, but it catches me by surprise every year. Like, you know, the fact that Halep is gone is unbelievable. And then on the men's side, the two upsets we had in the afternoon were both just like, is this really happening? Fritz out. Tsitsipas out. My biggest position in the futures market was Matteo Berrettini Q2. So
nice.
That helps. If I could have scripted it yesterday, that's what I would have made happen.
which of all of those, I mean, it's hard to say, which of those three, because we talked about them in the first segment, which of those three was the biggest, if you can say the most surprising of all of them to you?
Halep, I thought.
I think so too.
Yeah. I mean, she's a 2-time Grand Slam champ. I mean, she won Canada, but then I think she had something going on with her back potentially, which is the early exit in Cincinnati. And maybe that was a factor, but you know, you're playing someone who it lacks experience entirely at the slam level. And you lose in the first round. Conditions, I thought, favored her. to do well at this tournament. So she was the only player that I had circled who I thought was realistically live for a deep run who went out. There must be more to that story that we don't know.
There also must be more to Stefanos Tsitsipas losing the first 11 games of that match to Galan. That was something else as well. What did you land on today? Oh, we are simpatico on two right out of the
shoot. Yes.
Yes.
Right away. Okay. Well, the two women's dogs that I have eyes for today, Zhang Xinwen, is plus 115. I make her minus 145. I'm not exactly sure what the market is seeing in Penko. But Zhang kind of under the radar, you know, lurking in this draw in general. I think she's going to make a lot of potential deep runs end as she kind of has to do it herself on the way to a week two appearance here. And then Lucia Bronzetti. This one's interesting because Lauren Davis, I'm not sure who I would make her favorite to at all in this draw.
She's been terrible.
Yeah. And Bronzetti quietly been very, very good. This is a weird one because usually these up and coming young players, the market is not shy about trying to get ahead of their, kind of a breakout for them. But Bronzetti absolutely qualifies in my mind as an up and comer. She had just a tremendous win in Italy over Caroline Garcia, who we now know is, you know, in absolute razor sharp form. Mm-hmm. So I think Bronzetti is probably my favorite look just in terms of money line dogs today. I played a little Musetti largely because I just think David Goffin is cooked. And then I backed Sophia Kenin at -115.
Yeah.
This one's interesting too, because I watched Kenin para very closely last week.
I did too. Yeah.
Because I had a lot of para. And Kenin really, really showed you something that you haven't seen from her in a really long time. And I think, if she brings that same level of intensity, the no quit that she brought to that match, then she should advance pretty comfortably.
So here's the thing. Kenin's play is out of whack now, right? It's -140 something. I wouldn't play it at that price.
Is it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But I too had the same reaction you did to that. I wanted to play Kenin. Was already, by the time I got to it, it was already too far out. But exactly what you said, 2020 Australian Open winner right before the pandemic, sort of the slam that gets lost in history because of the mm-hmm. pandemic. But yes, she is showing now what she could have been then. So I like that one a lot. I'm on, you said it properly, it's actually Zhang Xinwen, the proper way to say that.
It's so hard.
Yeah, it is hard. But I have her for the quarter. I have her for outright as well. One of my few, because I actually went three or four deep now on the women's side. But Zhang is now back to -101. So she's back to being playable against Elena Ostapenko. But the Bronzetti one is a little different. Now, the Bronzetti one's about -115. I'm seeing -118 in some spots. Would you recommend her at that price?
Yeah, I make her... I'm almost embarrassed to say that. I make her like -185 was my fare for that one. So I'm way, way off market there. And again, like this, there are some round one plays where you are fading a player. There are some round one plays where you are backing a player. This is the rare one where I have a fade on Davis combined with the back on Bronzetti. So kind of the perfect storm there. I think -115 is still a fair lay. I would probably exercise a little caution if that gets any higher than maybe 135, 150 if I'm regressing to market.
Yeah, by the way, my other two that I mentioned in the first segment besides Zhang Xinwen and Lucia Bronzetti were Stevie Johnson on the men's side going up against Grigor Dimitrov as a big dog, and I also took a flyer on freaking Collins at +154 against Naomi. So we'll see. We shall see.
I like it.
Back to Serena for a second. So Serena in her second round match, and again, there was massive fanfare. If you didn't see this, it was literally like, by the way, let me just say this. I don't mean to make light of it. To me, Venus and Serena Williams, if we just have a moment of sort of broader than sports, it is the greatest American sports story of our lifetime, in my opinion. Like, not as much has been made of it, not enough has been made of it. So I just want to say that it is absolutely remarkable. Now, that said, I was over the top celebration after a first round win yesterday. And there was this tacit thing of, well, it's going to be a net Kontaveit. So Kontaveit is just north of a $2 favorite. And my question to you would be, and it's not for everybody because a lot of people don't like laying that kind of number, but would you, or is Kontaveit not in such great form that you might go the other way?
Yeah, oh, this is super tough. because both of these women are really, really out of what I would consider anywhere close to their, you know, even recent peak form for Kontaveit. So the Serena stuff was fun because if you're a tennis hardo, like we are, then you're like, just show me tennis. I don't, what is this?
That's
like,
right.
I would rather be watching Tsitsipas get bageled right now.
Right.
This is, that would be
that
more
drove
entertaining
me crazy.
Than whatever this,
that, yes.
I would rather be watching that than whatever this is. But at the same time, like, you know, ESPN does a decent job of servicing the casual fan, and the casual fan tuned into tennis last night, which is cool for everybody who loves the sport of tennis and wants to see the audience grow. Serena Williams did an unbelievable job of ushering women's tennis into the space where we are putting it absolutely on level with the men's tour. And, you know, it's, you know, inspired a generation of young women to play the sport and, you know, really deserves a lot of the, you know, the attention and applause she's getting for what has been, you know, the greatest women's tennis career of my lifetime by a margin. Really, you know, one of the more impressive runs as a women's athlete, of all time. So it's, you know, it's all worthy. But it is funny because watching it was rough.
It was, yes.
And then the quality of play.
They both took turns like spending a few games off.
It was not a good match.
Yeah.
Kovinic was, I mean, she ejected effectively. You know, Serena winning 6-3, 6-3 was a little bit of a misleading scoreline. Yeah. Margins were a little closer between those players. Serena does not look like, you know, she is, you know, match ready, whatsoever. This is probably a Kinect. Annette or pass here, even in the -200 range. But you mentioned it. Kontaveit was incredible at the end of last season. She was
ridiculous.
She's the number two overall, you know, a number two seed in this tournament, not by accident. Like, she was unbeatable at the end of last season. She carried some of that form into the spring, but then she got COVID, like late spring, early summer, and it absolutely derailed her 2022 campaign. There were moments like in Hamburg where I thought, oh, she's over it. She's figuring it out. She's going to put together a little run here. And then she gets to that final and just got absolutely neutered by Para. So, you know, it's not my favorite look on the board, but this is a contemplator pass.
Probably a stay away from me, I think. That's what I'm guessing. We're tennis hardos, Kelly, if you want to put that in the newsletter as well.
Hardos, bro. Let's roll.
War with Drew, NFL on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is football season, and bettors know that this is when the money's made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and pro football guides. Matt Eumanns and crew did a great job with these. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up early, and for a discounted $175, you'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, here as well. So much more than a producer, though. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Ryan Hyatt, Kelly. Today, Gil waited once again to give out U.S. Open picks while I was driving through dense rain. Amazing. The real Joby, Tsitsipas and Halep are both card-carrying members of the perpetually overrated team Mortelu. That's how you pronounce the coach's name. Coincidence they both lose in round one? Interesting. For Kelly, SQ999, so happy to see you with Gil. You are awesome. Yes, you are, Kelly.
I appreciate that.
You are awesome.
And when does Ryan Hyatt sleep? Come on, I was trying to figure out when to sleep last night. Get to bed.
Go to bed, Ryan Hyatt. Ryan Hyatt, silent producer of Primetime Action for 2 years.
I had to give him a salute at the end. He'll produce that for 2 years.
Greg Lake at Lakewood 731. It's all good. Kelly's reunited with Gil. I love it. Sorry.
Let's go. We're going to have some fun.
Sorry, Matt. Apologies. Okay, and this is from Jerry Aldini. Hey, Gil, who's your tennis survivor today? Well, I'm through round one, Drew. Let's bring Drew Dinsick back. I hit both my men, I hit both my women, so I can just chill and watch everybody else sweat today.
Yeah, you did. That was a bold choice to front load, because now you've used up two players on one side of the bracket.
Oh, I know. But you did
well swerving some of the landmines yesterday.
I swerve. That's what I do.
Tommy Paul almost took me down in the men's, and and Trevisan did take me down in the women's. So I'm already out.
Oh, you're out of the women's. Oh man,
I'm out of the women's. Yeah, it Trevisan. Was a quick run. And honestly, like, you know, I don't really have a strategy for this. I just kind of used what I would have used for like when I've done March Madness ones, which was looking specifically at teams where I have huge drop off in win equity from one round to the next, and using those players, because Trevisan was going to be a fade for me in round two, regardless of whether, you know, how good she looked in round one. And as a minus 1500 favorite, I didn't even really think twice that she was, you know, subject to an upset there. We haven't seen the woman who beat her, Rodina, hasn't played since Eastbourne. That was like in June.
Yeah.
So, you know, how in the world that happened is still kind of a head scratcher. Trevisan just utterly no showed.
Here's the thing. If you ever get to play a March Madness Survivor or something like a U.S. Open Survivor, this is just sort of the PSA. Take that opportunity, because it's the NFL Survivor
so fun.
On crack because of the bracket structure. Because you cannot lose the whole way, but if you run out of players, by the time you get to like the final four, the final eight, you lose that way too. So it requires sort of a multi-dimensional chess thinking as opposed to playing checkers. Let's talk about Jimmy G. Jimmy G signs as the backup, I guess, at least to start, with the San Francisco 49ers. That was enough for me, Drew, to make a couple of Niners bets. Like, I like that they decided to make that move. Does it move the needle for you at all on them?
It definitely does raise their floor. You could have definitely, if they went to war with, Trey Lance and then, you know, backup Sudfeld or name, you know, equivalent, and Trey Lance gets hurt, which is not impossible considering he's young and he's learning the game, and we don't really know how.
Or is not good at football, right? Or is not good at football.
I think if Trey Lance is not good at football, you're going to get 17 games to see it.
oh, you think?
I do. I mean, they've put so much draft capital in this experiment. Almost, it almost has to run its course. I think this season. Jimmy G is your. This is a move in two parts. Number one, you are hoping to potentially find some suitor outside of your division that would trade for him. If their quarterback goes down in the first four games of the season, that is still very much an option. And then part two, if that doesn't materialize, you have, some injury insurance for Trey Lance. But that I would be very, 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 very surprised if they're even entertaining the idea of switching back to Jimmy G if Trey Lance shows any growing pains. Because, I mean, what else should you expect? I mean, the exception is having a breakout season like Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, not the rule. Most young quarterbacks are going to have bad games.
Everything you're saying is right. But if you're, I don't know, if you're 6-5, right, and you got six games left, and the reason you're 6-5 can largely be pinpointed to mediocre play from that position. Don't you remind yourself at that point, the object of this here sport and our lives is to win a Super Bowl. And as long as we got old Jimmy G with the great track record, which we talked about, the win-loss record with him, without, obviously, his great playoff runs, don't you have that conversation in a room, though, at that point?
Yeah, I mean, certainly with this team that's win now, you probably have the conversation. But I think even in the medium term and long term, which, you know, Shanahan and John Lynch have done enough in their 10 years at their respective positions now in San Francisco that even without winning a Super Bowl, I think either of those guys is easily going to be picked up and hired again for those same roles on another team if this doesn't work out. So I think they're playing with house money. They're in this for the long term with San Francisco. And, you know, the best outcome for the Trey Lance era, you know, overall is to get him to get his playoff stinker out of the way this year. And so if that sacrifices a shot at a ring in 2022, then so be it. But I think that the bet has been made, and now they have to kind of see it to completion here, that Trey Lance is going to be the guy that elevates their ceiling to Super Bowl potential.
Browns, obviously, no Deshaun for 11 weeks. Let's get your final sort of opinion on the Browns. Are they? I believe they're underrated now, generally speaking. In fact, when Kelly and I do our week one thoughts next segment, week one Survivor plays, the Browns might just come up. Where do you stand on them?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Browns are a fair bet, especially at 2.5 against Carolina. The fact that that's trending to 3 is surprising to me. I thought that was going to come back to pick them when we saw Carolina in the kind of -1 range the last 2 weeks. Obviously, -1 to -2.5 is not a huge move, but the fact that somebody really kind of saw something that they were taking away as a positive out of Carolina so far in this preseason is surprising to me. Cleveland, on the other hand, from player 2 to 53 is one of the strongest rosters in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you can really deny the talent that exists on this team, and they're all healthy now. My general read on Cleveland is this is a team that is going to be able to play with the lead and be outstanding at kind of putting away a win. And this is a team that if they face a deficit in a given game, if they're down 2 scores, you can pretty much put a bow on it. They're rostered well to be able to play ball control, put away a game with the run. And their defense is tilted towards pass rush and secondary, which means, you know, if the other team has to throw their way back in, they're going to find it tough. And so I think, you know, their game states are a little fragile. And, you know, if they are playing a team that has a dynamic offense that can score early, then they're in trouble. If they're playing a team that, has a very stout defense that's going to keep them off the scoreboard early, then they're in trouble. And Carolina doesn't check either of those boxes for me. So I think Cleveland is a fair play week one.
All right, Drew, I'm going to finish this with rapid fire 3 questions. These are three questions I asked of our buddy Rob Pizzoli yesterday when he was kind enough to join us in studio. I'll ask them of you. 1, the NFL bet that you made this offseason that you are still the happiest with?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, we're out of time for that.
Boy. A rapid fire, huh? I mean, I didn't make enough bets that I didn't don't really feel especially amazing
right.
about it.
I guess Josh,
that's right. Sometimes
Josh, what Josh, Josh Allen MVP at +750 okay. is the easy answer.
What a very, very unenthusiastic answer that was to that question.
You know what? I made some other, all my award market bets, I'm super, super happy with. I have an enormous amount of equity all across the board on the award bets. But Josh Allen MVP, Bills winning 14 games and everybody kind of running to the window to anoint him as the guy, the next guy. That it seems too easy to get. Yeah.
Question 2 of 3. What is the one you've made that you now regret horribly?
I got a lot of Dallas week one in pocket that I would like to give back.
Was that made because of Brady doubts or
yeah,
what?
For sure.
Yeah, okay.
For sure. Yeah. No, I thought there was a realistic chance that Brady wasn't going to be available there. And, you know, and everything was trending well, even in the injuries that I was catching on the, you know, Tampa Bay side of things. But now the Dallas, situation with left tackle going up against this absolutely vicious Tampa Bay defense is very concerning. So happy that I'm a little fatter on the under in that game than I am on the side, which has made me at least have a little bit of be able to sleep at night there, but would very much like to get off Dallas.
All right, Drew, with the music taking you off 10 seconds, the most contrarian opinion you have this season, maybe you backed it up with a better not.
The Tennessee Titans are secretly tanking.
Okay. Secretly tanking. I like that. Thank you, Drew. Always a pleasure, man. Enjoy the open
great
today.
New bumper music, by the way. This is great. Anyone tweeting you? Great new bumper music.
Have you met my producer, Kelly Bidlin? You guys should meet. Coming back, Kelly and I, week one in Survivor NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Then once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And then once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager's settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. How about that? Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. It is a numbers game. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, producer number 9. We have a pro tip of the hour, do we, Kelly?
Visa pro tip. Numbers game pro tip of the hour. I'm going to throw this one out here, Gil. Jimmy G re-signing, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, for the future of the 49ers, provides bettors with some security to bet futures on this team this offseason. As that is one thing that I was not even worth considering betting any futures on the 49ers given their current quarterback situation. But you add Jimmy G as a backup, I think if you want to go out there and you're confident enough in this team to go make futures bets, now you can. So that's pro tip from hour one of the show. We do one every hour on Visa and across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for Visa and Pro subscribers only at Visa.com, where you can sort through them by sport and by show, Gil.
And I know you mean it when you point at me like
that's
that.
Right.
I love
that's
it.
Right. You know that.
By the way, not only do I agree with that pro tip, I backed it up with bets on the Niners.
Yeah, you did.
Yesterday on that news, Niners to win the NFC at plus 705, Niners to win the Super Bowl at plus 1650. I was partial to the Daniel Elahi Galan not being a tribesman pro tip, but apparently you overrode that, which is fine. I'm okay with that. That was big news to me. Can I say something about basketball or ask you something about basketball?
Yeah.
Before we get back into football and Survivor plays? Kelly, by the way, one of Kelly's great strengths is his love of all things National Basketball Association.
Oh, I love it.
Or as he likes to refer to it, baloncesto. Here's the thing. So back to the theme of what we were talking about in the first segment of the summer of no movement.
Yep.
So it was fait accompli, that's French, Kelly, that the Donovan Mitchell, old Spider Mitchell, was going to go from the Utah Jazz to the New York Knickerbockers.
Oh, that was done, right, Gil? It was done a month ago.
We still call them the
Knickerbockers. 5 weeks ago.
We still call them the Knickerbockers.
Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah. It was appropriate.
And then old R.J. Barrett signs an extension yesterday with the Knicks.
Yeah, so here's where we're at right now. Knicks and R.J. Barrett finalizing a four-year rookie extension that would be up to $120 million. Now, what this possibly does is take the Knicks out of the running for Donovan Mitchell, which we have heard reports on over the past week or so that there's been a little bit of there hasn't been much movement between the two teams on that over the past couple weeks. So Leon Rose saying today, New York, you know, Knicks president of basketball operations, that a Monday night deadline with Utah to reach an agreement on a trade for Mitchell has been set, or the Knicks will commit to the Barrett extension. So
that was
something
last night.
That a lot of us kind of thought was done with Donovan Mitchell heading to New York. Gil, we talked about nothing happening this summer. I don't reopen the NBA speculation window of where Donovan Mitchell might fall now, because one thing I can promise
he's not staying, right?
He is not staying. Yeah. The Jazz are unloading. I still think Jazz under win total bets are good to make this right now. They've still got enough talent on that team that the numbers aren't going to properly represent what this team's going to look at the beginning of the season, and then very much so what they're going to look like at the end of the season, Gil, where I know you love to capitalize in this. In some NBA betting with some, you know, maybe some Tankapalooza teams in that
maybe.
Way, you know?
Maybe. Might have known to do that.
But this is a big story, and if it reopens kind of the Donovan Mitchell sweepstakes with all those teams that were waiting all summer to figure out what Kevin Durant was going to do before possibly considering Donovan Mitchell, now they can all consider Donovan Mitchell and what they'd be willing to trade for him.
By the way, if you're a Knicks fan, and how annoying was Spike Lee last night, by the way, the Serena thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're a Knicks fan, you were counting on this, and the sort of strange, I'll call it strange because I thought it was a little odd. I get it. Jalen Brunson had a great, great run with the Mavericks. I get it. You know, he earned a big deal and stuff, but like the Knicks made it their one, you know, their only sole purpose in life to sign Jalen Brunson.
Quickly then followed up by this.
And then they were like, well, we're going to get Spider Mitchell too. And now they're not. And they didn't get KD. You know, they none of that would ever gain any steam. So in the end, you're left with this now?
Yeah, it is the, like you said, it is the most Knicks thing ever to basically be prepared to, which everybody agrees with, basically completely overpay for a backcourt that you're going to bring in of Donovan Mitchell, you know, the whole backcourt with Brunson and Donovan Mitchell, you're going to overpay for that, and then you can't even get it done. Everybody thinks you're overpaying for it, and then you can't even get it. You can't even get it to the goal line. If that's not the most Knicks thing ever, I don't know what is.
Some franchises just—it's just going to happen to them every year. Survivor, National Football League. Kelly, you playing Survivor at Circa? You doing it?
I got to this year, right? I mean, are you doing a numbers game? I got to do Survivor now.
It's in your numbers game contract that you must play Survivor.
You're right. I think it's in there somewhere.
What do you plan on getting? One entry or multiple
entries? I'll just do one. I'm gonna dip my toes in the water. Just dip my toes in the water this time, Gil. Maybe next year.
You know what? I will get multiple entries, but I am a firm believer in the fact that one, like having one entry, is the only entry you play optimally. So I'm not. I don't hate it.
Yeah. You know, and I could take lessons from some around here, Matt Brown. when he had the three entries one year and
he went out the first week.
Yeah. He went Vikings all three in the first week.
I mean, that is a strategy.
I'm not saying it's wrong strategy, but I'm not ending up in that camp. I'm going to make it to at least week six.
So I'm gonna throw out some Survivor candidates here for you. You can either agree to these or go off the grid here. But if you've got one entry, if you've got multiple entries, depending on how you want to play those, here are some candidates. One is the Browns. We were just talking about them. The Browns, who are a dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody picking the Browns if they're a dog? Is anybody picking the Browns against the Panthers? By the way, I think I might be taking the Browns on the money line in week one.
I'm with Drew, though. I don't really understand this movement on this line.
Is it going to get to three?
I know, right? I can't imagine it will be. I mean, I think they're going to start seeing buyback at 2.5 just because of teasers and everything.
Right.
But three, I would think there's going to be big time buyback. And I'm with you. I'm going to let you finish here, but that's one of my favorite ones for week one.
Because I think, again, the thing with Survivor is you're also playing your opponents, though, you know, I get it. You shouldn't probably pay too much attention to that too early on. But what will be the most common Survivor plays if you just, you know, for week one, if you just look at the biggest spreads out there? Can I go Cronkite on you and take off my glasses for this? You're going to go, I think he's a little more serious when he did.
Oh, yeah.
Niners are 7-point road favorites against the Bears. So some people are going to take the Niners, even though you might want to use the Niners later. But maybe there's some Trey Lance worries. So maybe you take the Niners. Bengals are 6.5-point favorites against the Steelers. So people are going to take, a lot of people could take the Bengals. The Ravens are 7-point road favorites against the Jets. There will be a lot of Ravens love, and there will certainly be a lot of Colts love, who are 8.5-point favorites at the Texans. Those are the biggest. Well, the next biggest one, by the way, it would be the Broncos, 6.5 on Monday Night Football at Seattle. So a lot of people are going to take the Broncos. Back to mine, Browns are a consideration because I just think people are sleeping on them. But I do think those next, outside of the biggest plays, that the next two, specifically the Broncos and the Titans, are interesting plays because there will be, I would imagine for some hesitation about the Broncos on the road in a division game in a prime time. I know people think Seattle's no good at football, but maybe there will be some Broncos love. And how often will you consider using the Broncos later in the season? So there might be some Broncos love, but they are on the road. Titans are at home as a 6-point favorite roughly against the Giants. The Giants are one of these teams that got a lot of offseason buzz from a lot of good handicappers we know. I don't know. That might be your only opportunity to use the Titans, depending on the way their season goes.
I mean, I am closer to with what Drew said than I think what most people are, where I think this could be a disaster of disaster seasons for the Titans.
All the more reason to use them now.
Yeah.
If you think that's the case, they're going to come out week one and do all right.
I think the other one you had on your list was Commanders.
Well, so that one is, that's the game where most people are thinking, okay, if I have multiple entries, by the way, do one, let's say you have two entries or you have four or six, do half of them on the Commanders, half of them on the Jaguars. That way you're guaranteed to survive. I hate that strategy.
I
hate it. But there are some people who are thinking about doing that. A lot of people are thinking about doing that. I happen to think, as a lifelong Virginia Taco Holders fan,
it's so great. Fish tacos coming to that every time.
Because that's who I cheered to the Super Bowl when I was a kid. Yep, sure was. I happen to think they eke out that game.
Yeah, I it's a team that I'm not high on. I don't think I'm going to be comfortable betting most of the year. So laying week one at home against the Jaguars.
Or as a Survivor play, I'm just saying.
And so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So for Survivor, I think It's going to be that or Browns for me, I think. Just us looking quickly off of week one, I think it would be Browns or Commanders for me.
The point is, when they made the schedule, they didn't make it easy for Survivor players. I'm sure they had that in mind when they were making the schedule. Like, what do we do? Can't we screw Survivor players?
Oh, of course, yeah.
But there's not one clear-cut choice. But I think those are the four, Commanders, Titans, Broncos, and Browns, that I'm considering right now. Mark Borchardt on Baseball Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.